Welcome into the Call to Podcast, recording Thursday, April 2nd, top of the 2 o'clock hour. No April Fool's jokes here. I'm Alex Barth, joined by Alex Lebowitz. We are powered, as always, by CLNS Media. Frankly, nothing has happened in sports since we did our last show. Feels sort of weird doing a show with nothing to talk about. We're normally, you know, there's so much time in between these shows. We're trying to squeeze everything in. Believe it or not, we aim for a 20 to 25 minute episode every week. And we normally push 40. So
yes.
It feels a little weird being short on content, but here we are. And the reality is, I know yours is already public, Lebowitz. You were furloughed on Tuesday. I haven't put anything out there. I didn't, people are dealing with their own crap. But I was furloughed on Tuesday as well through July, or through the end of June until July. So, you know, we're both in a field where we talk. That's what we do. We talk. We give our opinion to people. And suddenly we don't have a platform to do that. And for me, as somebody who's been doing this for, you know, 10 years, that's a little jarring. And I'm sure you sort of feel the same way. So I thought it just might be therapeutic to talk and to not necessarily even just give opinions, but just to talk and speak and converse, because it feels weird not having an opportunity to do that right now.
Yeah, these are, you know, sports are, it's not at the forefront, but there is a factor here, which is like whenever we deal with national tragedy, international tragedy, or some type of horrible event in the world, you have that escape. We don't right now, and we have nothing really. The world is kind of shut down economically. We're hurting as a country and globally. And on an individual level, both you and I are impacted on this, although, you know, fortunately we have our health and we're doing all right on that front. Hopefully this is temporary, but these are times that we're going to remember for the rest of our lives. We're going to talk about for the rest of our lives. We're always going to reference these times, and it's probably going to end up changing, you know, our country and the world forever. So it's wild, but it's good to try to vent and talk about it as well.
I mean, I do think this is like, you know, people talk about the events of a generation, right? Pearl Harbor, John F. Kennedy assassination, the Challenger, 9/11. Obviously, we were alive for 9/11, but, you know, I vaguely remember it, very vaguely. I would have been 6 years old, I think, 6, 7 years old.
Seven, yeah.
Yeah. And you're younger than me. So, you know, I think this is it for our generation. But it's not, you know, aware. It's funny because you would think if it's over a span of months, even a year, where were you? Oh, you're a lot of places in here. Everybody's going to remember exactly where they were because nobody's moving around. So this is it. I mean, like you said, this is it right here. This is the thing, movies, TV shows, documentaries, all of it. This is the world will never be the same. It never will. And, you know, obviously I started off about saying, and you kind of touched on this, I started off saying how tough it is for us right now in our situation. You know, it could be a lot worse. I get that my situation could be a lot worse. I know you said your situation could certainly be a lot worse. And there's a lot of people going through things right now. And I think it's just important, you know, it's just important to talk. That's ultimately what it is. It's really easy to lose your mind staying inside. And I think some people flexed out of that by saying, you know what, I can go to the park. As long as I don't go near anybody, I can go to the park one day. Oh, I can go walk down the beach one day. But like, you can't. We're at the point where you can't. You do have to stay inside. You do. Yeah. So I think that keeping these lines of communications open, whether it's listening to podcasts, FaceTiming friends, Zoom. You tried this House Party app. That thing's wild. Like, I think that's important. Have you tried House Party?
I used House Party before FaceTime had the group thing going. So okay. I remember House Party from college. I haven't used it since because I find that FaceTime's a little bit easier. Although if you have a friend who's not on an iPhone, then you're kind of, you know, out of luck on that front. But I've been calling people every day. I've been trying to stay in constant communication. The one, you know, saving grace I've had up until Tuesday was I was still able to go to work and I was still able to get out of the house. And you know, I still am trying to order takeout from time to time, support local businesses, because again, everybody is hurting. But yeah, half the battle is trying to fill the time. And I'm somebody who is a homebody. I love doing nothing all day. It's my favorite thing to do. I'm going nuts right now, though. This is too much, but I think instead of looking at it as a burden, as something that, you know, you don't want to do, You need to look at it as an investment. You do this now for the next month, you hunker down. In another 2-3 months, we can be back to normal. We can get back to where we were. And the one fantasy I have in my head that's helping me get through this on an emotional and a mental level is you know, the fantasy of when everything is restored, when we had that moment where it's like, all right, we're done. With the COVID-19, it's over. And the people that, you know, and getting into large groups, being able to do that, getting drunk with a bunch of people.
That first weekend back.
Oh, my God.
That's everybody's 21st birthday at once.
Yes. And it's we all have. Unbelievable. We'll have that shared experience. Like, you talk about how divided we are right now as a nation and how, you know, people are very, you know, into their phones, into technology. People don't make eye contact anymore. You know, maybe we don't shake hands as much as we used to because of this thing. Maybe there's not going to be the hugging all the time. But once we're over it, we will all have, you know, gone through this and experienced this, you know, this kind of trauma together. And when you experience these horrible situations, you know, as a unit, it does bring you closer together. Obviously, the story here is how it affects people from a health standpoint, how people are succumbing to this, obviously, and that's horrible. But it can also bring us together to an extent, and I'm hoping it does. I'm hoping there's at least something good that comes out of this, that there's some silver lining, and I know we're a long way away from being there, from being past this. But when we are, I'm going to really look forward to that moment so that we can actually be with each other and you know, acknowledge how we've taken certain things for granted.
See, I respect the hell out of that because I'm still stuck in, like, I still have to remind myself that this isn't forever, you know. That Simpsons clip where Homer goes back to his job at the power plant in a flashback. And Mr. Burns puts up the sign in his office, "Don't forget, you're here forever."
Yeah.
I keep having to remind, so there was that one. And then I saw yesterday too, somebody posted a screen grab from that 70s show that said, "This would be fun if I wasn't so miserable." And I guess that's where I'm at right now. I got hooked on GTA Online. I've been playing a lot of that. And that's been my existence. I think I've played it for 12 hours the last 3 days, like each day.
Yeah.
That's how I'm dealing with it.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Except GTA Online is very fun, but like that's it. That's it for me right now. You know, I'm trying to get signed up with the unemployment thing. That's pretty much all I have going on.
Yeah, and that's another thing, by the way. I've been playing MLB The Show, by the way. Willie Mays, Hayes, I got him on the Red Sox right now.
I wish I had a PS4. Is it good?
I enjoy it a lot, yes. I think it's good. I'm really like
it. Next year, I can't believe next year that The Show comes out on Xbox.
I know.
It's
going to be great. That plus NCAA, you know.
Well, no, that got pushed back because of this.
What was that?
That got pushed back now.
Because of the corona?
Because of corona. Yep. Just one more, you know. And then the other thing is, so I tried ordering NHL 20, right? The GameStop was out of it by my apartment, then it closed. So I tried ordering it on Amazon. I ordered it, I think, like March 18th, 19th, and it still isn't even shipped. So, you know, not that I'm complaining or anything. It's just like,
you got to order online. That's the way to go. No, I mean, like on your Xbox, you can download it.
I don't have space on mine. I probably should. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like, it's little things like that hammer home for me, that hammer home the extent of this. Like, yes, obviously sports being shut down is huge, but it's not necessarily the league being shut down, but the day to day of, you know, it just sort of hit me the other day that, yeah, I should be planning with friends. Hey, what bar are we going to for the Bruins' first playoff game? Like, that hit me more than it actually canceled. Today being Red Sox – today was supposed to be the Red Sox home opener.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize that until, like, 1 o'clock. That's normally, you know, I'm up blasting Tessie at, like, 9:30 in the morning on the Red Sox home opener.
It's brutal. It's brutal, man. It sucks. It sucks. Everything's done. Everything's suspended. You know, and there's no real timeline. I know April 30th is a date that's circled on the calendar for you know, the country. But to think that we're going to be back to normal then, I think is a little naive. We're not. This is going to be
Massachusetts is May 4th. I think so, you got to go. I think you got to go by the state number that you're in.
That's true. And that's the thing. I know, like, in like a week and a half, that's when things are going to start to peak in certain cities. And that's a horrible thing. But the good thing is, after that peak, obviously there's a decline. And I want to get to the point where we're towards the bottom of that curve, and we're no longer dealing with the volume of you know, virus infections as we are right now. And obviously, hospitals
I just hope that we don't pull off the pedal too quick, though.
No, that's going back to like this being an investment. We have to stay inside. We can't. And I am going for walks. You know, I'm still trying to get outside. I'm separating from people. I think you can still do that if you're not going near anyone and if you don't touch anything. Just go, because you got to get outside. You're going to go stir crazy. So I'm trying to go for like a 40-minute walk every day just to get some sun, get outside. I'm fortunate to be in an area that's nice this time of year. So you got to make that effort. And, you know, I do think about people who, you know, have anxiety, people who are susceptible to depression. And this sort of thing does not help at all. This makes it far worse. And it's going to be it's a drastic time. The implications to this thing, beyond the actual infection, beyond the fatalities, which is obviously horrendous and the worst part of it. But you look at how this is going to, you know, affect people's psyches moving forward, how this is going to affect the economy, how this is going to shut down some small businesses. You hope that the stimulus package helps out, but I know I'm still in the process of filing for unemployment, and that it's been an extremely frustrating process. And it's understandable why it is. No, we never dealt with this volume of unemployed people before in one time. So it's just, the more you think about it, the crazier it is. And yeah, you just hope that we get through this. And you look at South Korea and how they've dealt with it. You look at other countries throughout the world that are starting to sort of return to normal. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. But it feels like forever. It feels like a really long time away. Where this started March 11th. It's April 2nd as we're recording this. And then May 4th is the time circle on the calendar. We're not even halfway through this. And I don't even think we're really close to halfway through this, to be honest.
I think, so to me, and again, while sports aren't the lead here, I actually think one thing that is a really good barometer is golf. For the whole world returning. Because if you think about it, golf should realistically be one of the first things that comes back. It's naturally spaced out. You really don't need fans. There's no contact. And they just canceled a tournament in July. I think it was the Players they canceled yesterday. I forget if it was the Players or the PGA, but they canceled one yesterday in July. So I look at that and I say, I think this is going to be going through July.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm being a pessimist, but that's how I see it.
I think that that's probably accurate. I think June is the most optimistic outlook right now. Mid-May is what a lot of people have talked about. I don't think we're going to be back to normal mid-May. And if we are, it's going to be the empty venue thing. And that might be how games are played for the rest of, you know, the season through baseball.
I think that they, with the empty venue thing, I think that they need to mind their social impact, and that even if they can go and play those games, does doing that give people the message that it's okay to go back out? And does that in a way, you know, hurt the process? Like, I get that they can play, but I do think that, and I know the bottom line is going to come first. I do. But I do think that there is a responsibility to be, you know, socially aware of the impact these leagues are going to have. You know, are people going to all go, you know, first Red Sox game back, are people going to have watch parties? Are people going to say, oh, no, they're back, it must be fine, let me invite 20 people over to come watch the game? Like, I think that is something that – I don't know if they will be aware of it. I don't know if they will act on that, but it is something that they should be aware of.
Oh, and beyond that, this isn't – so we might decline this summer. I know warm weather may be huge in helping – kill this virus off, but it's still going to linger, and we could have a second wave come the winter. That's also a very scary part of this. So maybe there is some return to normalcy that's a little too soon, and then you're dealing with a second version of this thing. I doubt it will be as bad as this because people will probably take action quicker than they have this time around. But that's also a tough thing. So, you know, you talk about football season. You get to week 11, week 12. You could have a return of this. And then what happens then? Do you suspend the season? We have so many questions that right now are unanswered. And the only thing that will answer them is more time and kind of seeing this whole thing unravel. And, I don't know. Obviously, again, the priority is trying to make sure we deal with this in the best way possible. It shouldn't be just trying to rush things back and return to normalcy. And that's a great point you bring up. Like, will MLB returning or the NBA trying to return, is that going to send the wrong message to certain people? I mean, undoubtedly, there are going to be a bunch of idiots who go out despite the concerns right now. And there are dumb idiots going out right now. And I've seen people play basketball down the road from where I live. Like, a lot of dummies are making this thing worse than it should be.
Basketball courts up in Houston?
There's a park down the road and there's a basketball court and a tennis court.
They zip tied all the nets here.
That's probably what they should do in Houston. So, hey, that's actually a really good idea because it will just be a deterrent. Lock every gate for tennis courts, you know, zip tie nets.
They got rid of all the hockey nets. They took all the tennis nets down. They zip tied the basketball nets, like all of it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So we'll see. I don't know. They've been dealing with it pretty well down here in Houston. They've been ahead of the curve, at least in Texas. And you hope they continue to take those actions. I'm also going to try to fly home in the meantime. I'm going to be furloughed for at least the next month.
A $5 plane ticket might be worth something someday. Sell to New Zealand.
It's going to be – so I looked it up. It's about $100, $97 one way, which is real. I mean, that's an unbelievable deal.
I heard they were like $20 tickets.
So if you go from like, you know, Florida to Baltimore. I know somebody who did that, or I know of somebody. My buddy's buddy did it, and it was a $30 plane ticket. There's other people who have spent $18 on plane tickets. The air travel is down 90% this time from last year. Right. So I don't think it's quite as much of a threat to go on the airlines. It's still not the smartest thing to do, and
you're a specific case, though.
Yeah, and I like if – and I'm going to – and yeah. I could stay here. I could feasibly stay here if I file for unemployment and I get that stuff squared away. But I don't see the point right now. I'd rather be home. I'd rather be back up in Boston. And I already have N95 masks on the way. And I know that there's a shortage, but you know what? I bought one.
Whichever ones you don't – you use them to fly back. Whichever ones you don't use, you donate them.
And I'll probably end up doing that. So – We'll see what happens. Tough time, and it's surreal. I think that's the best word to use. I've been using this for the past month. This whole thing is surreal, and it feels like we're in a fantasy movie. There are warnings for this thing, but now that it's here, it's wild. It's crazy, crazy times we're living in. This is the most surreal event of my life, with the exception of 9/11.
I think this is more so.
Yeah, probably.
And maybe for just for me personally, maybe it's because we were younger, we don't remember as much. But like, I don't even necessarily know. And again, I was younger, and I am far from an expert on geopolitical history. Okay, but I don't know that the average citizen of the world, their day to day life was impacted as much by 9/11 as it will be by coronavirus, like long term. Right? What? Obviously, like the politics of the world changed in the Middle East and whatever. The day to day regular person, me and you, like, how different is our life now 20 years later because of 9/11? The airport's a little different. But is that – I mean, like, what else? Right? Maybe there's other things I can see. Like, coronavirus, like, day to day life will forever be different to me.
Yeah. And that's what I've been thinking about. Like, the effects of 9/11, you had TSA and airport right. Security was far more stringent. And I think it led to other facets of the government stepping up, NSA, just monitoring for terrorism. This is, an unseen killer. This is an invisible killer. And it's all about cleanliness, sanitation, germs, all that stuff. Like, will we be done with the handshake after this? Will, like, you talk about Europe, they kiss people on the cheek when they greet in certain places.
That's done.
It's done. So the way that we interact as people will forever change, which is, you know, something that I don't even think we can predict on how it's just going to happen naturally. You're going to have so many germaphobes, people who have OCD already, who are going to be so affected by this change. And that's going to, like, this is gonna, like, again, mental and emotional disorders are going to be skyrocketing from this. And it's gonna do a lot of damage, obviously health wise for people physically, but emotionally and mentally, a ton of damage, and just obviously the way in which people interact. I think that's gonna change forever.
All right, you got anything else?
Stay safe. Good luck. I think we'll get through this. Fantasize about when it's over. Fantasize about the moment they come out with a vaccine.
Yeah.
Which might be 18 months from now, and we're all partying on the streets like when Bin Laden was assassinated. Right. It's going to be – we'll get through this.
Okay, let's close on this. This is a fun note. I wanted to write this the other day. I ended up getting furloughed before I could, and then I got distracted. Let's close on this fun note. The Chiefs have $177 in cap space, the Kansas City Chiefs. Not $177,000. They have $177. Build your ultimate quarantine kit with the Chiefs cap space.
Okay. do you want me to do that right now?
I'm just saying, like, just think about that. Like, I go original Xbox is cheaper. Give me an original Xbox and a couple games for $100. Like $30 on a thing at Jameson. So that leaves me 40, and then that leaves me what, $40 for food? I still need TV, I guess, and water. I don't know. I'm stretching out. What would you – you have $177. What are you putting together?
Yeah, $177. Yeah, but I mean, so I'm just going to go under the assumption that I don't have a gaming system because I do have an Xbox original. I have the Xbox 360 as well with NCAA 14. No big deal or anything. I'd probably end up getting an old-school game system. I think PS2 because I don't have that, and there are a lot of games that I miss – like All-Star Baseball 2K5 that had like the cornfield and you could do pickup baseball games. That game would be number one on the list for me. So I'd say that would cost roughly, you know, $70. I'd get probably, you know, alcohol, maybe some drugs to try to kill the time and a lot of food, like bad food that I normally would not eat in bulk. And maybe some like Neosporin and Advil just in case.
All right.
That's it. That's all I need. Assuming I have a television.
I just saw – okay, remember this for the next episode. The Missouri Hillel – I just saw this on Twitter. The Missouri Hillel made a March Madness bracket of famous Jewish people.
Ooh, we got to use that.
A 12 seed somehow. Wait, Pink really? Is Jewish?
Pink is Jewish.
First round, Pink is a 5, Joel Neville is 12. We'll do this next week.
Wait, who are the one seeds? Can you please rattle off the one? Can I guess like a few of them?
Yeah, okay. Two of them are – one of them is like a current famous person. One of them is a dead famous person. And two of them are like – I don't know how to describe it, but they're not like current people.
Is Adam Sandler one of them?
Adam Sandler is not a one seed. He's a two seed. Against Mel Brooks. Jewish.
Who?
Sue Bird. Adam Sandler is a two seed against Sue Bird. The winner of that gets Sandy Koufax and Jared Kushner.
Okay, Sandy Koufax makes sense. Is Mel Brooks
Sandy or Larry? Koufax not be a seven seed?
We'll do. He's a seven seed?
Sandy Koufax, yeah.
Wow, that's pathetic. The one seed has to be – is Mel Brooks a one seed?
Mel Brooks is – you need to think bigger picture here.
Abraham.
but you're on the right track.
Moses.
Moses is the 1-1. He is the number one seed up against Amari Stoudemire. Then there's another similar one too. Arguably the most famous Jewish person of all time.
Arguably the most famous Jewish person of all. Is this a biblical person?
Yes.
Don't tell me it's Jesus.
It is Jesus up against Michael Bloomberg.
I don't like that. He converted. He's not.
I actually don't know. Well, okay, and then you're not going to guess the other two. They're like objectionably random. Mel Brooks is an 8, by the way. I just saw him.
Daniel Day-Lewis. He's an 8?
He's an 8.
8? That's pathetic.
And if he wins, he has to face Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
RBG should be a top 3 seed, for sure. She's a very influential.
And then Albert Einstein is the other one.
Okay, Albert Einstein makes sense. Jonas Salk, is he on there?
I'm trying to find him. I was about to say, given the circumstances, Jonas Salk should be on here.
He's got
I don't see him, but I'm not like combing it right now.
Mel Allen, Howard Cosell.
I will send it to you in beginning of next week. We will do a full show on this.
Okay. Full show needs to be dedicated to this bracket alone. We got to go through the seating and each pick our bracket. We'll print it out and we'll unveil them.
All right.
So on the show. That's a great idea.
There's a very exciting episode for everybody next time. Make sure you catch it on Twitter at Calling the Podcast, online at clnsmedia.com under the podcast tab. For Alex Lovitz, I'm Alex Barth. Thanks for listening.